Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Charlie Pankey here at Sierra Rec Now podcast. I want to thank you for joining us wherever you're at today in the Sierra or in the Valley in California. If you're getting rained out, our thoughts are with you guys right now as the atmospheric river slammed into California this week. And as I'm watching on social media channels, everything, I see the flooding in San Diego, for example, Los Angeles, the rivers are crushing. One of the things we're going to talk about today is Death Valley, and they're actually under flood watch today still as well from the storms. But for us here in the mountains up in the Carson Valley and Tahoe area, this storm was about to snow, and it felt like winter finally reached the mountains. So I hope wherever you're at today that you can see the Snow Peak Mountains of the Sierra and or are excited about what this brought to the area. So what we would do today is we'll run down the snow totals that we know. Kind of more broad based of snow totals of the Sierra and where we're at for snowpack, so you can come play this weekend. It's also Valentine's weekend, so we're going to talk about a little bit of Valentine's and some of our favorite places maybe for a romantic getaway. And then we're going to highlight a trip in Death Valley for you today in our talk two towards the end. So, hang on for that, and we'll also talk about some events here on the east side for this month that may or may not be of interest to you, but something to travel to, things to look forward to as we go. So, again, if you guys aren't familiar, Charlie Pankey, Sierra Rec Magazine, I'm a publisher. We do six magazines a year. We have free subscriptions online, so you can catch us on at sierrecmagazine.com, all the social channels of Sierra Rec, Sierra Recreation, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, we're in all of them, TikTok. And so the podcast are new to us here. Our goal this year was to put out a weekly podcast every Tuesday, talk about what's going on in the Sierra, share our tips for our 10 years of traveling and hiking the Sierra and things that we saw and some of our favorites. So we'll be doing that all year long. So please go ahead and like and subscribe, whatever channel you're watching on today, whether you're on Spotify, YouTube, or coming off my website. I really do appreciate it. So glad to have you along, and we know that you probably enjoy the Sierra as much as we do. This is just our way of being creative and sharing what we know about Sierra in hopes that you enjoy your day a little bit more as well. So let's talk about snow real quick. I am here in the Carson Valley, and I spent my Sunday afternoon shoveling about a foot of snow out of my driveway and a couple of neighbors. I have a couple of widowers here last year in our neighborhood, so helps shovel their driveways as well. And it's really kind of one of the things in the Carson Valley. We have a lot of people have moved in from other places. I grew up in the mountains of Cascades, so I'm used to shoveling snow. But we have a lot of Californians that move over that aren't used to the snowpack. And so a foot of snow is like destroy the world to them sometimes. And so it's kind of a little bit funny because it's really not that much snow. But this was a really wet and heavy snowpack, so it was a lot of work to move. And so we're enjoying the view here from my window, my office window. I can see Heavenly Mountain out my window from down the valley. It looks beautiful up there. And that was probably the biggest blessing for the snowfall. But you'd be surprised at how different the snow totals look across the mountains, right? So the storm didn't just come in like it seemed to in California, just hit the whole state. There's a lot of sporadic snow depths from Mammoth all the way to the south as you get all the way up into Lassen. To the north. So let's cover those real quick here. It looks to us like this storm really hit south of where I'm at, right? So Mammoth area, for example, 7.5 feet of snow in the month of February so far. So that's awesome, right? It's a good start of February. You remember that from 2018 and a couple of years back, we used that February as February and March. And remember, I've said this many times throughout this first part of the year, our year is a lot like 2018. If you go back and look at 2018, we had this like early snowstorm and kind of excited about it. And then we just had the super dry December and January season. Then it hit February and basically in 2018 didn't stop February to the end of March and almost in April. It just snowed continuously. And so we had a massive snowfall during that period. So kind of feeling that way right now, this atmospheric river plan coming off the Pacific Ocean. We keep talking to it. It looks like it's got steam behind it, although it looks again like this next one coming through might go south of us again. And so it looks like maybe a southern push on our mountain. So Mammoth is in good shape. The other one down there is China Peak on the west side. They actually came in, I think, the second most snow at 5.5 feet of snow there as well. So they look really good. In the Tahoe Basin, or let's move up Let's see, Bear Valley, about 3 feet of snow. Headley got about 30 inches, so they didn't even make the 3 foot mark. Kirkwood got a 4.75. So that's a great example. So Bear Valley, Kirkwood, Headley, right? They're kind of in the sequence right on the chain. And here Kirkwood, which sits in this little hole, a little bit, received more snow than Bear Valley and Headley on both sides of them. And then Sierra Tahoe, 4.5 feet. Dodge Ridge got 31 inches. So I didn't look at Yosemite to see how much they got up there. Palisades, 4.75 feet. So is that Palisades, North Star, Squaw Valley area? It's all going to be somewhere around that 4 feet. Long story short, 4 feet is great for a weekend, basically. You're talking about we're in 6 days into the month. If it continues this pattern, we'll have a great February, hopefully into March. I know Punxsutawney Phil, the whatever that squirrel or groundhog that comes out, said it's going to be early spring. That may very well be the case. We may end up that way. But I always say mountain country has nothing to do with the groundhog, right? Mountain country is its own animal. Our winter season is starting now. Matter of fact, I was doing a little research. Do you know what day is in historically the most snowfall in the Sierra? I'll give you a moment. You put your answers down below, whatever you want to do on that. The day on record, okay, according to records across the Sierra, March 1st is historically our heaviest snowfall day in the Sierra. Historically, like 100 years, right, of data. So we're coming into our season right now of the winter. We're super excited. I went snowshoeing last week with the family, and I have some weird fears. I've spent my entire life outdoors, but I have some fears that are kind of maybe a little irrational, but they're based on real fear, right? So I went up to Red Lake with my kids. They invited me out and on Saturday before the snow actually arrived, so that we were still sitting on our older snow. And we got to Red Lake. There were ice fishermen out of the lake, and there was dogs, and people had little huts, and they were doing their ice fishing, which is really popular in their area. And none of us were really in that really energetic mode. We just wanted to be in the mountains, and I was really kind of a pissy day before that, so I was glad to go out with my kids. And we walked around the dam of Red Lake, and if you don't know the area, you know, the dam side goes over to the highway, which goes up Carson Pass over into Kirkwood and Capel's Lake. And so we walked over to that side. It's a pretty hike over there. And we found ourselves walking across the shallow part of the lake a little bit, which didn't freak me out too bad. I was kind of like, oh, okay, I think we're good. It doesn't seem to be bugging me too bad. And then as we're getting around the other side, I realized how far it was to walk all the way around the lake. And we're kind of about halfway from the car. And so we decide to walk across the lake. And I have a huge fear of falling through the ice. I that's something I just don't want to do. I don't want to trigger an avalanche. I don't want to fall through the ice on a lake. So I basically avoid them. I never go on the ice on the lake, right? And my kids had just got back from Canada and walked on the lakes up there in Canada in their trip, and they were all excited about ice skating on the lake and stuff. So we started heading across, and again, it felt really stable. There was about a 6-inch base of snow on top of ice, it seemed, as we're snowshoeing across. And all right, I'm feeling okay, ice fishers. And we're about halfway through the lake, and all of a sudden I look down at my dog's footprints as it runs by me, and there's water collecting in the bottom of its footprint. And again, it's about 6 inches down still, and I'm about freaked out, man. I was just like, oh no. And so without digging, and I could tell it was kind of slushy, I just kind of prayed that there was ice below that, because nothing cracked or seemed to move. It was just like the visual of water was freaky. So long story short, we got across the lake fine, made it home safe. It was all wonderful. And then the storm came in right behind us. So I imagine those tracks are buried up there. It looks great right now. So we're super excited about the snow. It's still in my front yard. It'll be a few days, although we melt really fast around here in the Carson Valley. But it should be, you know, a great weekend to be in the mountains hopefully can get up here early. We do have some storm clouds on Lake Tahoe today right now. It's kind of gray outside, so they may be getting a little bit more snow as we speak here. In the Carson Valley, let's go turn to some events coming up here and just keep us on track today. So if you're looking for things to do in the month of February, I'm sure there's all kinds of places, but here's a couple real quick ones just to kind of think about, right? In the Carson Valley, where I live here in Minden, Nevada, Carson City area, is Eagles and Ags Month. And what that means is that eagles come off the mountains and they feed with the cows and on the afterbirth, because it's a birthing season for the calves here in the valley. So we get all kinds of eagles and falcons and hawks and all kinds of different birds of prey coming into the valley. It's part of that Pacific fly zone that we have the migration patterns. And so all kinds of tourists, they have dinners and dances. And biggest thing is photography. People just line the roads and take pictures of these birds. They bring all the cattle kind of towards the road so that the birds come closer. It's kind of cool. So that's really cool. I just saw Virginia City. Not only did they open up registration and ticket sales for the Rocky Mountain Oyster Feed in March, which is huge up there, but the Piper House has a special Valentine's Day concert up there for last name's Dalton's, country singer's named Dalton. So the Piper House, which is a really cool old historic opera house up in Virginia City. Great opportunity for Valentine's Day as well. I didn't go look for a bunch of Valentine's Day. My wife and I, we don't tend to be Valentine's Day, go out for dinner, too many people out, right? So we'll go to sushi the day before, or we'll go out and find a waterfall or a snowy place to enjoy and go snowshoeing. Obviously, if you're going to look at the Sierra Nevada and go, okay, where do we go for Valentine's Day? Lake Tahoe is a great choice, right? Lake Tahoe, right behind me here, Emerald Bay, that's what it looks like in wintertime. It's an absolutely stunning place to be in the wintertime. If you like less crowds, go to north of Emerald Bay right here and go up to the state park. Past Meeks Bay. And there's a state park up there. I apologize. I'm going mind blank at the moment. It's right between Meeks Bay and Tahoe City. Anyway, there's a state park there. You know, snowshoe right down the water. There's an old set of railroad tracks there. Awesome place to go. Chickadee Ridge up above Tahoe, feed the birds. We've done that before, and that's a really fun snowshoe. Shout out to our friends at Nevada Nordic as well, who just got done grooming all their trails. So they have a full set of trails up there now at Chickadee Ridge, all groomed for free from Nevada Nordic. They'd love your support. Check them out online. This is a group of volunteers who bought their own snow grooming machine, got a permit. Now they're grooming all of the Nevada side of the mountains for cross-country skiing and snowshoeing. So that's a great opportunity as well. So definitely take a look at them. If I was going to head north, Sierra City, our friends at Sierra Pines Resort are sending us photos of what it looks like in Sierra City. It looks like a great place. They have 8 rooms available up there. And I think they will be doing a St. Patty's dinner. I'm not sure they have a special Valentine's dinner or not. You might want to check that out with them. They have a kitchen staff and cook on staff there for their guests. So the wintertime schedule. So that's a good opportunity. Lake Almanor, friends of Lake Almanor, they have lots of places to stay up there. Lassen Volcanic National Park, I've said this before on channels, is probably my favorite place in the Sierra that I've personally ever snowshoed. Again, I haven't been to Yosemite Valley, but during the wintertime, but the snowshoeing at Lassen Volcanic National Park is phenomenal. Great opportunity to go up there with your family and friends, bring your sleds, snowshoes, spend the day in the deep snow. Lassen Volcanic, did I write that down? Oh, I couldn't find the Lassen Volcanic National Park depth of snow. So it said they've received 96 inches of snow so far this year, but I don't know if that started in November or if it's just this year on their calendar. But that'll kind of give you a hint on that as well. So that's good. So for our featured destination today, as we kind of wrap this episode up, as we're moving forward, I want to highlight two things for you. One is backpacking permit season. If you don't know that, if you're trying to go backpacking in the Sierra, we're working, I believe it's right now on the second week of July at the moment, this lottery for recreation.gov. So what that means, if you're not familiar with that, is that you have to have a backpacking permit for pretty much every place across the Sierra. Some of them, they'll require have quotas, right? And the quotas are all on recreation.gov. You have to apply for a weekly lottery. And it's a really easy, simple process. Basically, you just pick a trailhead you want to go to, pick the dates, and it's going to tell you at the end of the week whether you got it or not. And so it's a little bit easier maybe 5 years ago. They've adjusted a little bit, but I still haven't really been cut off of anything yet. I've always been able to come up with a thing. Can I come up with two or three different routes I want for that day? So, or that week. Tips there. If you can start on a Thursday, almost always get your permit that you want. If you start on Friday and Saturday, obviously that's a busier season. It's going to be a little harder to get those permits, especially if you're going to Eastern Sierra and some of those great places down there. So look at your dates if possible. So flexibility. I also find that if you go in like on Sunday, when everybody's coming off and you go in and you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, some of that might be a great day of a trip there as well. I just posted a loop on sierracmagazine.com today. Go look it up. It's the Tuolumne Meadow to Yosemite Valley hike. It's about 27 miles, but go the Rafferty Creek route through Vogelsang High Camp. It's a great route, a beautiful hike up to Vogelsang High Camp out of Tuolumne Meadows. Rafferty Creek is one of my go to tell people to go on that trail hikes. After a few miles, it kind of opens up this beautiful meadow path up to the peaks, and it's really kind of quite a stunning climb. And then you have the choice from there to stay at the high camp, or you can stay down at Booth Lake, go on to Emmerich Lake, and then I forget the name of the last lake down there. Here's the kind of choices there. Like if I was going to do this trip again, I would go to by Booth Lake or Emmerich Lake, and then I would stay a day and hike around Vogelsang area and stay up there one more day. And then the third day, I'd probably go over Vogelsang Pass, and I would either go into Bernice Lake and make it a four or five day trip, or I'd go down to Washburn Lake and stay at Washburn Lake, which is just awesome. But those lakes, you're not going to see probably one more person all day, one or two people. It's going to be pretty light depending on when you're going through. If you make it all the way down to Merced Lake, that's where you're going to see the next high camp. There's going to be lots of people around there, especially in the summertime. Beautiful area, but you have people coming in from three or four different directions to Merced Lake base camp, so you're going to see a little more crowd there. And then after Merced Lake, you kind of have another choice. You can go hike Half Dome and do Half Dome. That's popular. You could turn around and go up to Cathedral Lakes, Sunset Lakes, Clouds Rest area, and get that ridge, and then go to Yosemite Valley. And most people, what they'll do is go Half Dome and down to the JMT. The other option is at, I think it's called Echo Valley. You can turn and follow the Merced River down, go next to Bunnell Cascades and Mercer Fall on that route before you get to Nevada Fall and Vernal Fall and Clark's Point before you get down the valley there. So those are some options to look at for that route. That's a trip that I was just writing up on. We personally have already booked about one trip into Sequoia. So we're going to Sequoia to do the Silman Pass and J.O. Pass Loop. We'll be doing that in June. Hopefully the snow will melt by then. But that is one way. But I want to stop in today's session by talking about Death Valley. And the reason I bring up Death Valley is I personally think February sometimes can be the best month to visit Death Valley. It's when the winter temperatures on the Sierra are at the highest and the Death Valley is at maybe its coolest. It's a really nice camp night. Did this trip a few years ago with a buddy of mine. We did a 4x4 group that met up actually down south of Lone Pine at Fossil Falls. They all came up from Los Angeles. We were coming down from Carson Valley, so we met up there. By the way, Fossil Falls, really cool place. If you drive by at Mammoth and Bishop and you're always looking for a place to stay before you get to Lone Pine, Fossil Falls, look it up. It's a campground. Barely, it has a bathroom. That's there. But Fossil Falls is really cool. It's kind of this old historic waterfall from the Owens River that got diverted back in the day. So it's got this really cool feature there. Not sure how it is in the middle of summer. In February, it was a nice day. anyway, so then we took the four-wheel drive group and we drove to Death Valley. And we headed over to, what's the canyon over there? Dang, see, I should have wrote this down today. I'm going to find that real quick here. Give me a second. Anyway, so we took that canyon route and we went over and went 4x4 and up this canyon for the day. And then we stayed in a campground in February. And I personally thought it was one of the best trips I've done in east of the Sierra, if you will. It was Titus Canyon. How did I forget that? I don't know. So Titus Canyon is just a fantastic trip. Unfortunately, here's what's happening, and this is kind of pertinent for this week actually too. That whole moisture cloud that came through is in Death Valley right now. And as I said, there's flash flood warnings all over the place. So Death Valley is kind of a little bit of a trap right now. If the weather is good, right, Death Valley is absolutely gorgeous and perfect in this time of year. But places like Titus Canyon have not recovered from last year's floods. And 2 years ago's floods just ripped that whole canyon out, so you can't even drive through it right now. The racetrack area at Playa just got reopened not too long ago. So now this new flood's going through and the back roads. And the one thing I can say is you're going to look at Death Valley. And there's so many places to look. It's such a cool, unique place. My youngest son says it's his favorite national park, actually, of all the national parks, which is crazy to me because I'm a Yosemite guy. But I understand what you talk about. It's such something you just don't see, right? And so it's a really kind of a cool experience to go be in. I personally love the sand dunes in the different places you can go see the sand and hang out in sand dunes. Some of the canyon lands are really unique. But this rain that comes through, don't listen to Google Maps. They send you on dirt roads and all kinds of stuff like this. And whatever device, I shouldn't say Google Maps, whatever device you're listening to, I hear it all the time, people taking these dirt roads and get stuck in the mud. Just stay on the highway. If there's a flash flood, go and turn around, right? And so this weekend may be a bad weekend to be in Death Valley. There's actually a lake that formed there this year. That's really uncommon, right? That for a lake to form, there's been so much snow in the Sierra. And I started thinking about that geologically, how does that even happen if we didn't have that much rain down there? And, one of the things about the Sierra that's unique, and you would see this up at like a Burning Falls North, is that the rain seeps into, the snow seeps into the granite cracks, right? And it's long been said there's places in the Sierra where there'll be no water, early spring and all. And then sometime in the fall, water will just come gushing out of a rock because it's taken that long from 20 miles away or 30 miles away in a crack for the water to make it through all these cracks. And I just wonder if Death Valley may have some of that, where the water it receives comes from some distance away, right? So, for example, in Death Valley, there's in Nevada, the pupfish, and it's down towards Vegas, but there's a waterway in Vegas where they study these pupfish. And the story that I've been told, at least, and again, I probably need to do a little research on this, is that those pupfish can actually get all the way into Death Valley through an underwater tunnel network of some sort. And so you can actually see the pupfish occasionally in Death Valley, which is fascinating to me. In one of the permanent waterways there in the park. So I know there's a very vague Death Valley cover today. I didn't really prepare. Here's the 10 places you should see in Death Valley. Death Valley is kind of unique. You kind of got to decide what you want to do, right? So maybe you want to go 4x4, up the dirt roads and canyons and find unique places. Maybe you like to hike up canyons. Maybe you just like to get up on scenic vistas and take amazing pictures, right? Death Valley is an extremely scenic place for you to do that. So definitely encourage you to take a look at that as an option for your February destinations that you're looking at. So, and that's kind of what we're doing this month. Just kind of recap again in Sierra Rec now this month, what we're working on is destinations you don't want to miss, right? We got one more week of this and we'll talk a little bit more mountain next week. And then we'll start breaking into some of our spring hiking stuff that we talked about backpacking today. But we'll start talking about waterfalls and spring trails you can pick up and go from there. So also just exciting news today. I have no intent to always just be me. I do have guests on the way. So I was able to speak with two of my long-term I'm going to say Instagram followers, if you will, guys that are doing some really cool stuff in the Sierra. Mark Pegram, Pilgrim up in Lake Almanor. He's a professional bass fisherman. He's going to join me in a couple weeks. And then Mike Mullen, who is doing this amazing project for Lakes of Yosemite. He's trying to be the first person to record or document all the named lakes in Yosemite, which means he actually went there himself, photographed them. He's going to be doing some projects on that. So he's going to finish that up hopefully this summer. He's got 9 lakes left, so we're going to talk to him a bit about that too coming up. So please stick around. Again, I hope you like the comment. Please tell me what you're thinking. I'm getting very little feedback at the moment. I know I'm just getting started and I know I'm not got this dialed in yet, but I do believe in the effort being consistent and improving along the way. So feel free to let me know how I'm doing. And if you enjoy the show, And I will continue to work through the outline and bring you better content as we're moving forward. Again, we invite you to join sierrecmagazine.com. It's free. Come join us out. Say hi. Pick up some articles. We have all kinds of backpacking and camping tips on there for your spring and early summer recreation needs. So have a great day wherever you're at. I hope the Sierra is in your future. If you're working today, stay safe on those roads. We're going to be traveling over Friday to go see the Kings Nuggets game. I'm looking forward to going over the pass to see what the snow looks like on Highway 50 as we go over. So have a wonderful day wherever you're at. May you be blessed, and may you get into the mountains and play this weekend. Have a great day.